Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. Thanks a lot for joining us for today's podcast titled Coronavirus Facts Only. Every day around this time, I'm talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a slew care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital about coronavirus and COVID-19. What do we need to know? How do we keep ourselves safe? And what lies ahead in the uncertain future? Dr. Buchholz, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Oh, always happy to do so.
Over the weekend, we heard that President Trump has decided to extend social distancing rules till April 30th. Good idea?
Yes, I think so. This is part of the multi-arm strategy of dealing with this. And you know, as we've talked about for a while now, the numbers continue to increase and certainly have not plateaued by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, we really, I think nationally, don't have a sense that we're getting a good handle on this. And again, some other cities are starting to have kind of a surge in outbreaks. So we've been dealing with New York and Seattle, notably. Chicago's been struggling with this. And now New Orleans, I think, has kind of reached that point of really crisis and panic. And I shouldn't say panic, but of crisis. And it can continue to happen if we don't do something. So I totally agree.
So explain to us again how social distancing works so well.
So, again, viruses, all viruses really spread by, generally human-to-human transmission. And it relies on close transmission or close proximity to transmit and, having a sufficient number of people. So this idea of just kind of spreading everybody out and preventing these kind of these vectors of transmission or passive transmission is kind of the strategy with this. And so, you know, particularly effective early on, at least it's going to help a little bit more early on when we had less testing. And I think that's really the big issue is now that we've started to ramp up our testing abilities, we can start doing screening and being a little bit more selective of who we separate from who. And that will be kind of the second part of the strategy of dealing with this.
We heard over the weekend the head of the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Anthony Fauci, told the president that a death rate in the United States could go up to at least 200,000 deaths as a result of the pandemic. Does that surprise you?
I don't know if surprise is the right word. It certainly is a staggering number and a staggering fact. I certainly hope that's not the case. I think we have to recognize as a country how serious this is and how the impact it can have. I think that the stories out in New York, frankly, are just incredibly troubling. It's not only the fact that these hospitals are overwhelmed, but with that comes an inability to really take care of patients and people will die that don't, I think in other circumstances wouldn't die just by the fact of the system being overwhelmed. And so I'd be distraught if we got to that number. I think we can do things to really kind of prevent, deaths at that scale. But I think it's important just to recognize the scope of this and how serious this is. And, just looking at my newsfeed this morning, the singer John Prine is very, very sick. There's a number of other celebrities that have gotten this and are sick. That just shows you how this affects everybody and how, if we don't do something, this can continue to ravage our country. And it's sad and scary at the same time.
I know we see it really bad on the coast, maybe, you know, definitely in New York City, probably coming really bad this week to Los Angeles. Do you think it's going to get really bad in the St. Louis area?
You know, I don't know. We've been kind of chatting about that in my own group, and I'm not ready to be optimistic yet. I'd rather be more on the paranoid side, not because that's my personality, but I want to be prepared. And I certainly, as a healthcare provider and working with others, we don't want to let our guard down. We want to prepare as if the experiences our colleagues have had across other parts of the country, maybe what we're facing here. But, you know, we did have the ability, I mean, a couple of advantages St. Louis has, which is nice. Really three things. I think one is the self-imposed stay-at-home orders came a little bit earlier in relation to the numbers of COVID cases we had. Now, to be fair, we didn't have a really widespread testing, so there may have been more cases out there that we knew, but that certainly helps, one. Two is I think that the coordination across, you know, the big health systems in St. Louis has been really helpful. And I think that kind of coming together, sharing resources, sharing ideas, kind of seeing what others are doing to be kind of on the same page has been a nice conversation that I'm glad to see happen. So that's the second part. And then, you know, the third part is we've had a little bit of time to prepare for this. So we can kind of start to anticipate problems and think through things that others are just kind of having to deal with on the fly, not because of poor preparation on their part by any means, but just because it hit them earlier. We were all starting to ramp up in the crisis. You know, now when we get patients, we can do testing. We have an index of suspicion that's even pretty low that 2 weeks ago we would have had a really fight to get tests. We can just now test and get it over with, and therefore protect our personnel and have an idea what's going on with the patient. So we have some advantages. That's still, I think, how that plays out remains to be seen. I'm very, very cautiously optimistic, but I don't hold me to that at all, because it could get as equally bad here as it has in New York too. And I think we're trying to prepare for that, you know, prepare for the worst, hope for the best. That's been the mantra, and I think is a good piece of business to do.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. Dr. Buchholz, is your biggest concern now supplies or space or both?
Right now, supplies. I mean, that's by far and away the biggest concern is, you know, I think just the, you know, even meeting the minimum standards to really protect healthcare workers is a constant source of kind of angst and improvisation to try to deal with. I mean, the lack of supplies is just, well, I should say the supplies are just not there. And so we have to conserve and really be diligent about what we're doing, which is, again, fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do worry when those supplies run out, if we get, we're already probably at a critical shortage. And this just isn't in my own organization. I think this is within the region. That's probably to me the most concerning thing. And, you know, probably makes more people vulnerable and leads to a spread. So we may do the work that's needed to be done without the equipment. Are we going to be able to take care of patients? Are we going to be part of the spread? And I think that's a huge, huge concern. The space right now is not as much of an issue, but I certainly expect it to be at some point. So, that's, I'm sure, coming. But the bigger priority certainly is supply right now.
How worried are you about doctor burnout concerns, or at least healthcare professional burnout?
I think it's always a huge issue. And I want to emphasize this healthcare burnout, because, you know, nurses and other professionals on the front lines are just doing incredible work. And really, I think, you know, have even probably the most points of contact with a patient, I think, leads to their stress. And again, in the United States, at least, the deaths that have occurred that I'm aware of with healthcare professionals so far have been with nursing. And so that certainly is a concern. And I think just the stress of this, again, I've mentioned already that, you know, even in St. Louis, where we haven't really been, we've had cases, but we're certainly not overwhelmed. I think the angst and anxiety is already there. So you already have that substrate so that if things do become critical, that fatigue and just the emotional roller coaster of this, I think, is the hardest thing to deal with psychologically. And you know what, again, everybody's having to pull and help out each other. So, you know, your hours are getting off. So you're, you know, coming in on nights where you've been on days and vice versa. But, you know, so you're not getting the proper sleep. With the stay at home orders, you know, if a doctor works a long shift or a nurse works a long shift, it's hard to get groceries, it's hard to get exercise, and all that adds to just kind of a fundamental problem with wellness. And it's a big problem. It's not the most urgent problem. I think people that are seriously ill is the most important thing, of course, but you know, it's an issue. And again, just look at New York and just how it's just completely, you know, people are at their breaking point. That's, you know, troubling for just the care of those patients and for those individuals as well.
What's your basic message to all of us about how to protect ourselves?
Wash your hands. I was just, Atul Gawande wrote a really good piece in the New Yorker about healthcare spread or healthcare workers spreading this. And in Singapore, where they really have had remarkable success, they have an incredibly vigorous hand washing program. You know, the second I read that article, I got up and washed my hands. And I've been really working hard on that myself to be more and more diligent about that, just do it as frequently as possible. I think that's really just for anybody out there, so, so important. And again, preferably soap and water. The alcohol wipes are okay, but I certainly, you know, if you're not washing your hands with soap and water multiple times throughout the day, you're not helping yourself. And again, keeping that distance. I think for now, just kind of spreading everybody out and avoiding that contagion when we really don't know the incidence or the numbers of people out there is incredibly important. And we're going to have to, this is the time where we've done it now for a couple of weeks where the discipline starts to wane. You start to feel a little more stir crazy. It's absolutely gorgeous outside and you want to go outside, which is great. But just, again, maintaining that distance. If you're in crowded areas, it just is one of those things I think is just not wise to do yet. You know, give it more time and, you know, let this play out and see how things are. I think the next 2 weeks here, not only in the region but in the country, are going to be really critical. I mean, are we able to get a handle on this and start to slow down the spread, or is it just going to continue? And I think from there we get a good sense of where things are going to go. I certainly hope nationally we get a handle on it and the rates slow down. And I certainly am hopeful regionally as well that our rates never really get to bad levels. That would be a dream.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. I've got some listener questions for you, Dr. Buchholz, beginning with, can I have a friend over if we observe 6 feet of separation?
You know, it's your own choice and your own body and all those things. I would say no. And my reasons are this. One is it's almost impossible to maintain that true separation. There's a break in your mental awareness just where that occurs, you know, inadvertently. And that's not a criticism of anybody. That's just human psychology 101. And the second is just, again, in my mind, why take the chance? You know, again, it seems like the numbers are playing out in a kind of positive way so far. I mean, we certainly are having cases. We have extra cases every day. What we're really trying to limit is the doubling of cases. And if we can limit that, we stand a chance. And so everybody's got to do their part. So I think it just, we're not at that point yet. And again, like I mentioned just a minute ago, this is a place where discipline tends to wane a little bit, and that requires, I think, a little bit more effort to do our part and reduce that, and the number of interactions we have to reduce the transmission of that. So I'd still say no. Google Hangouts is really good for this. I did a happy hour with a couple of friends on Friday night. It's kind of fun, actually. It's a good way to interact with other people without having that person-to-person interaction in person.
Another question, what's the difference between allergy symptoms and COVID?
That's a great question. The short answer is not much. You know, and again, we're right in the midst of this, and I've got seasonal allergies as well. So every morning I kind of wake up with that paranoia of, am I sick or do I just have a runny nose from having the window open the previous night? I think generally with COVID, you're going to feel more ill. The number one factor, it really, since seems to be fever. And number two is this kind of generalized malaise or feeling bad. It's not going to be in all cases, but it's going to be in some. I would think if you don't have seasonal allergies traditionally and you have a runny nose, that's more likely some type of infection. And again, at this point, I just stay away. You know, that's even more of an indication just to kind of keep away from not only others in your family, but just from others in the community. And you might reach out to your doc because the testing is a little bit more generalized now. So there's the ability to do more tests. So it might be worth reaching out or going to the online virtual screening tools to see if you qualify for a COVID test. Probably not generally at this point, but that's coming. So in the next week or two, there might be more capacity to do testing, and therefore people will be willing to do it, and even for these minor cases. But at least gives us a sense of where you are and your ability to transmit this, and then you know, maybe put you on a self-quarantine to keep you from infecting others. So,
another listener wants to know, how long does a disinfectant wipe last as she goes through the house cleaning?
Yeah, I don't know. I think really the disinfecting where that occurs is, or where that's helpful is, you know, if you think you've had an exposure or somebody sneezes or does something and they don't adequately cover their mouth, wiping that down will kill the virus that's right there. You know, if you've got to have virus to transmit, and then virus has to be inoculated, if that's the right term, you know, so somebody's got to sneeze or directly put some particulates from their oral nasal cavity onto a surface. And so once you wipe that off, you've cleaned up a fair amount of that, or cleaned up, and it will be clean from that particular virus until somebody else does something to the same thing. But, you know, the second you wipe off any kind of germs, bacteria is everywhere, it's not really clean from that standpoint. I think if you wipe it down after somebody does something to contaminate something, I think you've done the job.
I have another question. How can I be safe when going grocery shopping?
Yeah, that's a good question. My wife and I were, we'll say, discussing that over the weekend. I think being very careful of what you touch, you know, and try to minimize touching of other stuff. So I think wiping down your cart, at least the handles of the cart, is a good piece of business. I think you know, not feeling every piece of produce is probably ideal. And I think if produce is prepackaged, at least you've minimized contact with other people from that. Makes a lot of sense. I think buying, for the most part, prepackaged foods, you know, meat in a package and produce in a package if you can. A lot of stores are doing that already, which is really nice. And, you know, I was at a store yesterday, and they put up tape and barriers to kind of keep people, make you aware of distances, which I think is really good. But again, just trying to minimize interaction with other people as much as possible, I think, is the most important thing. And again, frequently wash your hands. You know, if there's alcohol wipes in the store, use them frequently. If you bring your own, use it frequently. And then make sure you do that hand washing when you get back to your car. When I get home from anywhere I go, I immediately take off my clothes and change, you know, try to avoid surfaces. Again, that's probably a little bit overdoing it, but at the same token, like, it's pretty simple to do and it's pretty low. It doesn't cost a lot of effort or time to do that. And I think this is probably wise while we're kind of in the concern about the peak of this or getting to the peak of this.
I think I also read somewhere that said, go into the store with a list. That way you can just target and get exactly what you need and get out of there without just walking around the store. I think another thing I heard is that when you check out, if you're doing a self-checkout, be sure and try to clean the scanner first and the keypad as well.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. The last one I heard as well, which is interesting, is, you know, don't bring your own bags. Not so much for yourself, but it can cause contamination for others should you be ill. So that's something to think about. I never really thought about before or that this morning.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. What about once you get home from the grocery store and you've got your food and packages with you? Should you clean the outside of those?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think, again, if you're doing good hand washing procedures, I think that's probably by far and away the most important thing to do. And again, when I say that, I'm, you know, 80 to 90% of the prevention you can do is really around this idea of hand washing and trying to prevent cross contamination. On food, you know, I think, again, you should wash your produce anyway. I think just from the pesticides, and the, you know, what's on, you know, what's part of the food chain there. But I, you know, the other packaging, I'm not sure you really need to clean that off. I think it's just more when you handle food, just wash your hands frequently, which you should be doing anyway. It's probably your best bet.
One more question here from a listener. She wants to know, are hospitals and doctors still busy doing all those normal everyday type things that they do in a hospital? So then who's caring for all the newly sick people?
Yeah, that's a good question too. The short answer is yes and no. You know, we've stopped a lot of kind of what we call elective procedures. So these are things like that we'll do as kind of part of our routine basis, but just aren't doing anymore. So, you know, like a hip replacement or a colonoscopy for screening for colorectal cancer. You know, unless there's a really pressing need to do these things, or we, you know, there's, you know, we think a patient will suffer kind of worse with that, we're generally not doing them. And then most clinics are closed as well, except for, you know, acute visits. Or if we really think you need to come in, you know, we'll make sure to say, wait, we think it's better if you come in and here's why. You know, we're doing a lot of things by phone and by video conferencing right now, which is really great. And I think part of the future of medicine anyway. So that's filled up our time. But truthfully, it's been a little less busy. And I've got a lot of friends and colleagues that, not necessarily in St. Louis, but they're all across the country, that they're just basically sitting at home. A friend is one of the team physicians for the Houston Astros teams, or the Houston teams, Astros being one of them. He's basically at home. There's not much for him to do right now, which is a very unusual feeling. But that's kind of what's going on. But the ICU doctors and the, you know, general internists like myself who take care of patients in the hospital, we're keeping busy. And again, I think the big worry there is always, you know, if it gets busy to the point of them able to do that work, that's where we're going to start pulling other people in. And that's what's happening in New York. You know, dermatologists, skin doctors, radiologists, are kind of being drafted to come kind of take care of patients in the hospital. And so that's kind of, I think, what everybody's kind of mentally prepared for, at least at this point.
Dr. Buckle, thanks a lot for your time again. Really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. The questions are great. Really enjoy answering those. So appreciate that, everybody.
Dr. Fred Buchholz is a SLU Care General Internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. Thanks so much for joining us for today's podcast, Coronavirus Facts Only. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.